Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanaj. My guest today is Eric Olson. He is a Senior Vice President, Risk Engineering Services and Property Center of Excellence at Chubb. Eric, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff.
Back in December, I was interested in talking to you because back in December, I had the opportunity to visit Chubb's Risk Engineering Center in Branchburg, which I believe is, we can see an image behind you of that facility. And one of your colleagues called it the Disneyland of fire protection, which I thought was a great image. So I wanted to start there. Where does the Risk Engineering Center fit in Chubb's risk management efforts? I mean, you can talk a little bit about what goes on there.
Yeah, sure. So it's about a 14,000 square foot building, and it fits into our risk management expertise in many ways. Its primary purpose is really learning and development, both internally and externally. So its reach is very broad. It's beyond just the insurance industry. We host a very wide variety of audiences for hands-on adult learning through the venue, right? It's much more than a facility. It's designed for tangible, experiential learning, which we know from years of experience is the best way to make risk management real, make it meaningful, make it actionable. But yeah, we offered just last year, we offered 326 different sessions through the Risk Engineering Center. And, you know, we touched thousands of different, thousands of students that come through it. We have formal curriculum, so we really treat it very much from an education perspective and a pragmatic application across insurance, whether it's our distribution partners, Jeff, our brokers, our agents, engineering, architects, contractors, and much more.
Okay. So, and my understanding is that, I think you alluded to this, the fact that that kind of hands-on being there, experiential learning is much more effective than simply writing a memo and saying, you know, you really ought to think about not doing the things you're doing that are dangerous. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the entire point. You know, we touch thousands and thousands of clients annually. You know, and the insurance industry is known for risk management recommendations that we ask our policyholders and our risk management partners to consider to improve their risk profile, right? And it could be simple things, but it can also be very complicated things.
Sure.
And topics. And the goal is quite honestly to help our customers, help our policyholders, help our distribution partners, help our own internal staff in communicating what can be very complex risk management topic and subject matter into much more simplistic, visual, tangible reality. And the center, you know, it was born out of the fire protection space for learning and development specifically, right? You know, really is focused on L&D. And what's unique about the facility is it really is very broad in reach beyond just fire protection. I've been in the industry for 25 years. I've been through many of these types of facilities. I've taught many, many classes and thousands of people through these types of venues. What makes it unique is it's beyond just property protection. So we provide courses for worker safety and liability and equipment breakdown and fleet safety and auto. So it really speaks to our package customers who are struggling with risk management recommendations that are across all lines of business, all lines of coverage, and industry practices as well.
Okay. All right. And I do want to hear a little bit more about that. But first, I'm curious, the kinds of folks who come through the center, who are they? What do they do? What sort of work do they do? I mean, where do they come from? I know you do it all over the world. So tell me a little bit about your student body, as it were.
It is so broad, and that's what's so exciting. You know, years ago, it would be really limited to insurance folks. And today, you know, it's so much more broad. We have relationships with authorities having jurisdictions. So think of, you know, building inspectors, fire departments, architects and engineers, professionals who are looking for continuing education, customers, definitely policyholders,
sure.
And you know, and beyond, prospects as well. So contractors, you know, we just had a class last week with we had a full house of fire protection contractors. I don't want to speak just to the fire protection side, because we really have an equivalent on ergonomics and worker safety and industrial hygiene. So on the casualty side, on the worker safety side, we host audiences that are, you know, really charged with improving, you know, their risk management through things like personal protective equipment, slip, trip, and fall exposures, occupational disease exposures. So it's really quite broad by line of business, but it's certainly beyond just the internal insurance underwriter, the internal insurance risk engineer. There's a lot of community outreach through the facility as well.
Okay. All right. That leads me to my next question, which when I was there, most of what I saw focused on fire protection. But what I hear you saying is that what you do there goes beyond that, that there are other risks that you deal with. Can you tell me a little bit more about those? You mentioned a couple of them: ergonomics, personal protection equipment, things like that.
Yep.
What goes into all of those kinds of things?
Yeah. So behind me, you know, you have this visual of really industrial looking fire protection valves, right? And it's really a key piece of the facility. On the other side of the wall, we have a space that's dedicated to casualty and worker safety. So there are training topics that we will provide customers on general liability, on product liability, on slip, trip, and fall, where we actually have a walking slip, trip, and fall demonstration space right on the other side of the wall. Yeah, it is kind of funny looking, because you walk into the space and you see basically a concrete waterproof floor where we teach clients around slip resistance and proper types of footwear for workers, let's say, that are in, you know, on slippery factory floors, in slippery kitchen, greasy environments, right? And then in the same space, Jeff, we have lots of ergonomic PPE, or personal protective equipment, demonstrations around material handling, industrial material handling, and ways to prevent musculoskeletal, damage and injury. So it is really the other side of the coin. We also have a digital space right behind the wall, which is full of Internet of Things solutions. And that's our newest space. It's really exciting to see it flourish. And the IoT space over the past, I'll say 7 years, has just grown exponentially with things like water detection devices and ergonomics devices to really help our customers think about more effective ways of preventing injury on the job.
Okay.
It gets very, really, really quite broad into the IoT space.
Okay. All right. Well, the fire stuff was really cool, but that's the other stuff sounds interesting too, in terms of actually demonstrating how some of those things work. And I guess that's the point, is that you get these folks touching them and handling them and learning how to use them.
Exactly. Like we have recommendations in our industry today that are using smarter ways to help customers tackle loss drivers, right? That of course result in, you know, concerns around their premium. So if we have a recommendation that addresses, let's say, a portfolio of buildings that wants to get better at detecting water damage and leaks. We have several displays and hands-on engaging experiential opportunities in an IoT space, which allow them to see exactly how the systems work with automatic shutoff valves. And it goes beyond just the property space. We have, telematics devices for fleet safety. And we have a lot of worker safety devices for monitoring basically body mechanics and body movement to tell you if you're lifting properly or if you're doing something that will more likely injure you. And it's basically, an entire marketplace that's taken off over the past 6 or 7 years. And we've dived right into it to let our customers actually see this stuff and play with it and understand it.
Okay. So what I'm trying to, what's I'm trying to figure out the best way to ask this. I'm curious about what kind of knowledge that these folks need. Is there a sort of a common misperception or mistake that people made, or is there a question that comes up more and more often than some others?
Yeah. I mean, it totally varies by topic that we're teaching.
I'm sure.
Sure. Yeah. So I'll start with, I'll say one of the most common is definitely in the property protection space, the space I'm sitting in virtually. The fire protection space really is understanding why and how codes and standards, what they actually mean and why they're seeing them on recommendations, whether it's, no matter where it is in the value chain of the insurance marketplace. A much more common topic that we are starting to discuss very regularly through the center is actually natural hazards and resilience. So, when you think about climate change, think about flooding and wildfire, we're providing that level of education and expertise and capability through the Risk Engineering Center. In the IoT space, it's really introducing new technology solutions to age-old problems that historically building codes society hasn't figured out how to control in terms of loss. And in the worker safety space, it really is helping risk managers at all different levels understand options around solutions, right? The goal is to help understand how these technologies, how these tangible things can actually really impact the bottom line. And not only that, how to deploy it, right? How to actually deploy the learning in practice through an organization. So a really good example would be, over the past several years, we've been really supportive of water detection technologies in the IoT space because it's a problem that's plaguing the entire industry. Okay. And we have many customers who have chosen to deploy it. And it's one thing to say, okay, I put a bunch of IoT devices through my portfolio, through my facilities. It's another thing to expect the client to know what to do with all this data and to know how to manage it, right? Okay. And to know, best practices around getting that bang for the buck, the ROI, the cost benefit for these systems. So it's across the board, yep. Really.
All right. Well, you actually, again, anticipated one of my next questions, and that was, I mean, you mentioned that you've been in the business for 25 years. I'm curious about how it's changed over the past 10 or 20 years. You mentioned climate change. I'm sure that sort of brings in a set of new problems that maybe you didn't see back in 1999 when you started or whatever.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's a really great, it's such a great question. I'm thinking back, you have me, thinking about some of the older, we used to basically call them fire labs, some of the older insurance training centers through the industry and through the years, which were really myopic on just fire protection. Right. The facility we designed that you see behind me is was designed to conserve energy and water. There's no water wasted. So fire protection, as an example, it uses a massive amount of water for routine training, inspection, testing, maintenance, and for it to do its job. It requires large volumes. Nothing is wasted. Everything is circulated in the facility. So we essentially have a pool that's excavated into the foundation of the building, which is but it's changed so much. You know, resilience, climate change. These are topics that are evolving rapidly. We wake up to, you know, the morning news, and whether it's another flash flood event or another wildfire event, at its core, it's really business continuity planning on steroids. Whether it's supply chain resilience or business continuity, our course and our training capabilities into those spaces is growing rapidly to help clients understand. And when I say clients, risk managers, you know, we're talking about chief sustainability officers. We're talking about facilities and engineering staff. We're talking about people in the financial, you know, really their main role is financial services and financial planning. It's long-term financial planning. It's long-term ERM, enterprise risk management. And we're doing a lot more of that kind of I'll say longer term training around these realities that we're seeing every day.
Okay. Now, along those same lines, a lot of what I saw when I was there seemed to be geared toward warehouses, protecting stock, as it were. As I'm sure you're aware, the logistics and warehouse industry in New Jersey is booming. A combination, it started with the growth of e-commerce, accelerated through the pandemic, and from what we're hearing, that hasn't slowed down. I'm curious as to whether you're seeing that sort of activity, the same level of activity come through your place.
Oh, absolutely. Some of our most popular courses revolve around storage and warehousing, and the standards that are specifically used by the building codes and adopted by the states to enforce effective fire protection, and not only the designer, but the inspection, testing, and maintenance. So we have 8 or 9 courses. I'm probably undercounting just on the fire protection side, and that ranges from sprinkler and fire protection plan review to fire alarm systems and fire detection systems to warehousing and storage and even standpipe systems for high-rise exposures if you think about urban areas. Mm-hmm. So you saw probably a lot of demonstrations around sprinkler hydraulics. Right. And we actually set fires at the facility routinely.
Yes. I saw one.
You saw fire. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more impactful to anyone talking about fire protection. It's see these systems in action and to be able to actually go get their hands on them and play with them. So the Disneyland or Disney World of fire protection, it's a really accurate statement, because in the real world, when you see these things, you're the last thing that most people naturally want to do is go touch it.
Yes. Yes, it does. It looks really cool. Okay. Before I let you go, I'm curious then, given all of that, given climate change development of the industrial sector in New Jersey, I'm curious as to what you're seeing now for the future. I'm not asking you to look 25 years from now, but over the next, year or so, what are some of are you seeing new trends emerge? What are some of the things that business owners should be concerned about as we go forward in 2024?
That's a great question. The reality is that over the past several years, there's this huge market blossoming as the result of increased regulatory pressures around financial disclosures. Financial disclosures for publicly traded companies, and in some states beyond just publicly traded, to really understand and address their climate change risk, their climate risk, and how it's going to impact not only how they do business, but their portfolio of assets. So there's really what we are really tackling day to day with our clients is they watch this horizon of increasing regulatory language and policy is, how do you translate climate change risk and data into something that's meaningful and actionable. So understanding the materiality of climate change risk, what I'll call physical risk to your home, to your portfolio of assets, your buildings, your how you make what you make, how you earn a living. It's the business. It's a much broader conversation than just business continuity. I would say years ago, really we'd focus on that, you know, business continuity, the insurable sphere. And the conversation, training, and the education today is much broader than just the insurance sphere of supply chain, of flooding, of wildfire, of severe convective storm, which really drove back cat loss last year.
Absolutely.
So it's an exciting time to work with professionals in risk management, especially those who are tasked with business continuity planning, to really educate them into the climate risk conversation, where you're really bringing in environmental engineering expertise. You're bringing in a much different expertise that they're now responsible for understanding and addressing long-term, not near-term, for annual policy terms and conditions, but long-term. So it's really exciting to be able to talk to customers in this space I'm sitting in. We do it routinely, where the last thing we're talking about is fire protection. We're talking about climate change data, climate change models, business continuity plans, and showing them how to really translate it into meaningful risk management.
Okay. All right. Well, those are all critical. And I know in talking to business owners and executives that those sorts of things are top of mind always. So you're right in the middle of it. I appreciate the time you spent talking to us today. Eric Olson, Senior Vice President of Risk Engineering Services and Property Center of Excellence at Chubb. Thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I'm sure there'll be other risks that we'll be able to talk about at some point in the future.
Oh, you know it. You know it.
Thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.